we're reading tonight from 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. We're going to read from verse 1 through verse 12. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Very important clause in that last clause of verse 1. Are gathering together unto him. That's a future event. It hasn't happened yet. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, which is the coming of the Lord, for that day, when he'll come for his church, for that day when he's coming for us, shall not come. Now Paul is saying first that there is a gathering together unto Christ, and then he says it cannot come, it shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. Very important clauses. Notice his attitude. He exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the devil's masterpiece. That's what he is waiting for, striving for, and working for, to have a man sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth. That is a very important word, that withholdeth, and that is one of the reasons that we sometimes stumble over these scriptures. It's not that he is physically restraining, it's simply not the time of God. He said, and now you know that he that withholdeth or holdeth, that he might be revealed in his time, or in his hour. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked one be revealed. And then, not until his hour, shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, speaking of Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Power, signs, lying wonders. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. A little lengthy reading, but the two great opponents is on this page. First, he that holds, and he that wants to be loosed. Satan has a man. God has a time. And he cannot, until God gives him permission, be revealed. Anyone say amen to that?
Amen.
Now the reason that we understand that is because if Satan could do it, he would have already done it. He would have already have accomplished what he would want done, but he cannot without God's permission. How many will say with me, God is still in control? And he will remain in control. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 and 3. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourself knoweth perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Two things, times, seasons. Paul said, you are thoroughly understanding of that. I need not write unto you. You know that the Lord is going to come. When he comes, he'll come as a thief in the night. But proceeding that coming, they are going to be prophesying and saying peace and safety. Then cometh sudden destruction. When the Antichrist comes, he will come as a peace broker. He will come peddling peace. He will establish his kingdom and his power upon the platform of peace. Amen. Now, in the book of Jeremiah, before they were deported into exile in Babylon, Jeremiah encountered the same spirit working on Israel that worked on these people. Jeremiah chapter 6. O ye children of Benjamin, you gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem, and blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and set up a sign of fire in Beth Hakerem, for evil appeareth out of the north, a great destruction. That is the first thing that they have. They have instruction that it's going to come from the north, and that's where Babylon was seated in that day. It was going to come from there, and it was going to be a destruction. Now look at verse 14. That was verse 1. Look at verse 14. This is what Jeremiah faced. They have healed also the hurt of the daughters of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Jeremiah said, I am preaching that captivity is coming. I'm preaching that war and devastation is coming. And these false prophets are standing up, and they are preaching to these people. They are telling them that it's not so. Peace is going to be here. And then when you read what God says in verse 11 of chapter 8, for they have healed the hurt of the daughters of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. They are prophesying peace, and Jeremiah is having to withstand them, and that is always hard when one lone man faces a nation that is bent on judgment, wanting to turn them, hoping to turn them, and you have opposition. Look at Jeremiah's opposition, chapter 14. Look at verse 11 before we read verse 14, and verse 13 and 14. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people, for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry, and when they offer burnt offerings and oblations, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword and by famine and by the pestilence. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold the prophets, say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you false visions and divinations and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their own heart. That was the setting of the stage. It's going to be the same when this broker of peace comes. When the spirit of Antichrist finally finds his man, he will be a broker of peace. It has been in our time, just last week, in fact, that the Pope became a peace broker. How many of you remember reading that? That the Pope became a peace broker. He said to the Palestinians and to the ambassador of Israel that he wanted them to come and meet with him in Rome and sit under God. You know, on May 1948, that Israel became a nation. May of 2014, we have a peace broker. We have a religious peace broker. And the reason they said his credentials were impeccable. What did they mean by that? What did they mean they were going to accept him to broker peace because his credentials were impeccable? He represents one of the largest religious affiliations in the whole world. How many understand that? The Roman Catholic Church is not a small church. It covers the world. This Pope is supposed to be the vicar of Christ. So he is offering peace. He wants to talk to the Palestinians, and he wants to talk to Israel and have them come and sit with him and sit with God. So we have setting before us the stage. The furniture is being moved around. Excuse the noise. After a while, the curtain's going to open. When the curtain opens, the man of sin is going to step out. It'll be his hour. He will come as a peaceful man. Everybody say amen to that. Amen. Now, how do we know that? Because God will give him his hour on the stage. I need to read some more scriptures. I told you we were going to jump around tonight. Genesis chapter 6, if you can turn there and hold your place in the New Testament. If not, be patient. I'll read it to you. This is the first indication that the Holy Ghost plays a key part in the setting up and the withstanding and the keeping of the governor on the spirit of Antichrist. In Genesis chapter 3, we know that the prophecy started the conflict when it said, "And you will bruise his heel, he will bruise your head." That was the start of the conflict. It's run now steadily through the Bible, coming up to this hour when this man will be birthed and step out on the stage and will become the key factor in the trouble of the world. Now, Genesis chapter number 6, listen to what the Lord says in Genesis chapter 6. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. My spirit shall not always strive with man." Then when you get over to the book of Romans, you find out that God begins to show us what he will do when his striving with man is not taken seriously. Verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness." That's chapter 1, book of Romans, Verse 18. Against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, but God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even by His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There is a clause. Remember that. God is doing this to make them to be without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to their uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up. It becomes a hopeless situation when God begins to give up on man. Look at Psalms 81. I'm reading from verse 11 and 12. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own hearts' lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Then Proverbs chapter 1. Turn you at my reproof. Verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose to the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them, and whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. It is in this that we are trying to set a basis for what we're going to discuss. There's two spirits, the spirit of evil, which is from the devil. The devil has that spirit of Antichrist, and he is now building up to that hour when he is going to have permission from God for this man to step out on the platform of time. But as you have read in this wonderful book, that what we sow is what we reap. Anybody shout amen? Amen. So we now live in a generation where men are lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God. They're heady, high-minded traitors. Am I right? They have produced a group of people. Our generation has come to be God mockers, God haters. They worship God, but they worship God in the dictates of man. They think now in the terms of God being like man. fickle, weak, uninformed. All of this, they have pastors, they have heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. They put pastors in churches, not according to the Word of God. It has been in Dayton, we've seen it, that church, the Lutheran church split over a homosexual being placed in as a pastor. Am I right? It has now become an issue. Can people who are not qualified by this Bible still pastor? Our generation says, yes. If we want it, we don't care what the Bible says. We want what we want. You're not helping me. It is in this hour that the stage is being set. It's happening. It's going to happen faster. And there's only one way of restraining it, and that is the person that's doing it now, which is the Holy Ghost. He is the only power sufficient to restrain this until that hour. But remember, we read in the book of Genesis, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Am I right? Was that not in the days of Noah? Am I right? Then, if it was in the days of Noah, remember the Lord when he said, as it was in Noah's day, so shall it also be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. So we got to go back to see what happened in Noah's day and find out the overlay and lay it over our generation. Is our generation like Noah's generation? Are we building? Are we tearing down? Are we building greater? Are we eating? Are we drinking? Are we marrying? Are we giving in marriage? Yes. Everything that Jesus said can be found in our generation. Knowledge has increased. We've come from horse and buggy to rocket ships. A galloping horse was thought a fast steed. But now we zoom down interstates at anywhere from 65 to 75, and the venturers even go to say they have made it in 85 and sometimes drive 90 miles an hour on the interstate. Knowledge has increased. Let me see if I can give you some knowledge has increased. It was unthinkable that a doctor could take a human heart in his hand and stop it and start it. Cut on it, put a pig's valve in, put a metal valve in. It was almost impossible to think that a doctor could put an artificial heart in and man live. It is now, we don't even think that it is amazing. Am I right? Of course, the real thing is, now a person has, almost everybody has, a telephone with them. When I was a boy, we had a party line. You didn't take it anywhere. Then when you got better, you got a private line. You still did not take it anywhere. You had to be at home to get a telephone call. Am I right? Now you get one anywhere. You can talk to somebody overseas. Am I right? But that's not the amazing thing about it. The amazing thing about it is that they put a GPS in there. Right? If you're going somewhere and you don't know where to go, you just punch in an address and said, and up will come a map. Am I right? You're not one to admit it, are you? Knowledge has increased. Now we have the ability and you've seen it, to do things they never thought possible to do. I never heard of my grandparents receiving a new hip or new knees or joints. No, but there's nothing now for you to get any joint worked on. It has increased. Not only that way, a man has increased his knowledge until he has displaced God. Humanism has become an enemy of God.
Yes, sir.
They would like to replace God. They would like to make themselves God. And they are trying to do so by making inventions and keep on making inventions until man has no need of God. But they're only setting the stage for a man. In the fullness of time, God sent His Son. In the fullness of time, the devil will reveal his man. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm trying to say to you tonight. I have no time. I have no time set. I have no calendar, no date circled. But I am 70 years old, and I have been here for a little while. Long enough to tell you that I have circled some things in the Bible that made me to believe we're in that last day. Now, before our day, Jonah was the only man that ever talked under the ocean. Am I right, Brother Bill? Jonah was the only man that ever talked under the ocean, ever lived under the ocean until they invented submarines. Am I right? Now we have people living underwater, traveling underwater. We have them living in space. Traveling in space. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
We have people who can fly from the United States to Europe or United States to Africa in one day. All of that was impossible when my grandpa was a boy. Impossible. I said the word, I mean the word, impossible. But now it is not even thought as anything amazing. Because we have lived in it long enough to get used to it. We are acclimatized. Yes, we are. We are accustomed to it. Our sensitivity has been dulled by it. We're no longer shocked by it. It does no longer alarm us. We can go to sleep in Zion with all these signs flashing. That the hour is far past. Amen. You see, it was incredible that at the beginning of the First World War, the thing that kept the nations off pace was the fact that Hitler would make peace treaties. You remember Chamberlain, the Prime Minister of England? Chamberlain coming out of an airplane and waving a piece of paper saying, "Peace in our day. Peace in our day. We will have no war. Peace in our day." That was 1939. By 1940, we were up to our chin in it. Because he believed a peace broker. What do we do now to solve anything? We broker peace. We no longer win wars. We broker peace. And the Bible has told us that when they say peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction. I wish I had a church that had helped me. You see, all I'm doing is a voice up here trying to get you to look beyond what you're used to looking at. You got to lift your eyes up a little bit and see the hovering dark clouds of ominous potentiality of man being annihilated, because Jesus said that unless these days were shortened, there'd be no flesh saved. The potentiality of the world being utterly destroyed is very capable. Why do men want peace? Because there is the capability of total annihilation of the world. So when man will beat his instruments of war into instruments of peace, when he takes his sword and his spear and he beats them into pruning instruments and into plows, men say, ah, peace. So they talk about disarmament, trying to get people to say we're working for peace. I believe that the world is ready for a man. One diplomat said when John F. Kennedy was elected president that maybe he's our man. They are looking for a man. They are waiting for that one person who has the answer. The stage is set. Human nature doesn't want to be destroyed. They don't want to go hungry. They don't want to give up their party life. So the only way they can continue it is for someone to broker peace. That's why we come to Revelation chapter 6 and we begin to see what is going to happen. We go from heaven to earth. Chapter 5 is in heaven. Chapter 6 brings us back to earth. When we get back to earth and Jesus has taken the sealed scroll from the Father, am I right? He has been approved to be the one who is authorized, worthy to open the seals. Now notice chapter 6. John says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now this rider has been identified as Jesus Christ. Has been identified as a lot of different things, just basically. But there's only one conclusion that a man can draw who has the Spirit of God. And that you're seeing Jesus Christ opened the seal, that it is time now. The church is in heaven. It's been raptured away. Jesus has won the war of redemption. Every man in heaven has the blood of Jesus Christ applied to his soul. Now, he turns his attention back to the earth. And he opens the seal. And the first thing that you see giving permission to come out now is a white horse and a rider. Notice him. He has a crown. But it's not a diadem crown. It is not a crown of diadems like a king. The Greek word is Stephanos, which means a winner's crown. He has been given this crown. He has not earned this crown. This crown is not crowned of God. It is a crown of a competitor who has won a competition. This man is a peace broker. He has a bow, but he has no arrows. The crown was freely given him. And I saw him, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. But he did not do it militarily. He did it through the compromise of treaty. He won his crown. They, men of the earth, gave him his crown. He won it. He won it because he is a political genius. He won it because he is a charismatic personality. He won it because God has given them over to a reprobate mind. He won it because they want to give it to somebody. So God's going to let them give it to this man. And this Antichrist that has been a spirit will be a man. That which has been through all ages from Genesis 3 has now become a personality. He has eyes. He has a face. He has a physique. He has a mind. He is an orator. He is a statesman. He has brokered peace with Israel. You will remember there are 10 toes. How many remember the 10 toes?
Yes, sir.
Out of that 10 toes, there's going to arise a dictator. These kings shall give him their kingdom and their power because God has put it in their heart to do it. Am I right? So we see the stages being set. Satan has been waiting. I would you could help me here a little bit because I'm not going to be much longer. I've been too up here too long now. Got it now. Now you need to watch. The thing that's more important is not some militant dictator. He will not come that way. He is going to step out of that kingdom with a plan. How many say, well, they'll say a plan. He's going to have a plan. He's going to be able to coach out of Israel a 7-year peace treaty. Israel is going to give up their pretense of being aggressive and going to drop their guard. But not only will Israel do that, but the whole world will. They will wonder at the beast. They'll wonder at him. Oh, man. There never been nobody this smart. This guy's a genius. There's never going to be nobody that is able to do what he's done. Look at him. He's brought peace. So the first thing that we look for now in our day is people who start brokering peace. We've had Camp David. How many remember Camp David? Several of our presidents, Carter, right? As one, tried to broker peace. Right there in Israel. Didn't work. Can't work. The hour has not come. How many know that? The hour. We're looking now for a day. In that day, we're looking for an hour. All of a sudden, it's going to break on national news. It's going to break on the world news that there is a man on the scene that is brokering peace with the Palestinians and Israel, and he is guaranteeing to Israel, we will be your protector. You don't have to worry about these people. We will be the wall between you and them.
Right.
And Israel will sign a treaty with this peace broker. Anybody say amen? Am I lost? Have I lost you yet?
No, sir.
Now it's going to be a man. What's he going to look like? I have no idea. How tall he is? I don't know. What nationality is? I have no idea. My thought is he'll be European. European is a diversity. Most of us have some European background, some blood. On my mother's side was Strunk. On my dad's side was Sutherland. That's English and German. Strunk. So I have a little European blood, along with some Indian blood. I'm a mix. And when we start checking out, we all have become the melting pot called American. But the only one that still retains their nationality is the Jew. So we find this man. He will come from a European background because there is the unity, there is the solidarity, there is the wealth, there is the militant power, there is the ability to make people think. Where is NATO? Europe. Am I right? NATO is there to withstand Russia and everything east. It's there to be a wall. NATO. Our men who have served over in Europe served under NATO. We are, America is, because of her heritage, going to keep close and may end up even in that common market of Europe. America will be drawn that way. So we're looking for a man who will hold influence in America. We're looking for a man who will hold influence in Europe. We're looking and watching for a broker. Now, the last one we had, I told you at just a little while ago, the last one we had came from Rome. The city of Rome. The state of Rome. Did you know that the Vatican is a state? It doesn't belong to Italy. It is its own state. It can broker peace. So we don't know just how this is going to happen, but we do know. We do know that when this man comes to power, the religious backing that he will get will be tremendous. The church will sell him as the broker. Because, further over in Revelation, you see this woman, am I right? Dressed richly, sitting on the back of the beast as though she is guiding it. So this man will not only have political backing, military backing, and he will have very much of the riches, but he will also have the vote and the backing of the church. What else would he need to broker peace? His hour is not yet. There must be a falling away, Paul says. Now, have we seen that or not? Let's look at the falling away. What is the falling away? Let's look at Sister Todd. She is Church of God. That's a strong Pentecostal force, Church of God. Have they fallen away? It's heartbreaking to her because she has spent so much time there. The Assemblies of God, have they fallen away from what they were? I've got books on the Church of God. I got books on the Assembly of God because I'm Pentecostal. I have watched their decline. Let's talk about holiness. Let's talk about us. Has there been a falling away? Has our doctrine stayed stout? Has our separation been true? Have we tried to really keep a revival spirit like our forefathers had? Have we really prayed and sought God for revival like them? Or have we too took up a pattern of call an evangelist, have a few nights meeting? Let's have a few nights revival. When our grandparents paid weeks for God to send them a preacher. Can I get an amen? Weeks they would pray, God, send us a man. Send us somebody for revival. We need revival. Send us revival. And now sometimes our revivals are booked a year ahead of time. When Brother Addis was active, him and Sister Addis, they were sometimes booked 3 years ahead. It's easier for us if we do not really try to adhere to the Bible. It's easier on us. If we just sort of keep a similitude of it and really not take it serious. But when we do that, we're setting the stage for the man of deception. How many know he's a man of deception?
Yes, sir.
He's not what he thinks. And this is BD's commentary, because when you read the next seal that's broken, the red horse comes, and there's a man on the red horse, and he's come for war. I think the horses change color. It's the same rider. He starts out with peace, and then he becomes militant and sets out to conquer. This white horse rider is conquering and is conquer. He is coming to conquer the world. His first attempt will be with treaty. And then when he gets his power base, he will go vigilant, and he will take a sword, and he will begin war. Amen. What will follow war? The next thing that you read is that there's going to be devastation, pestilence, famine. And the last thing which makes me think that God finally gives way. I read in the Bible that if anyone takes his mark, forehead or hand, anyone who worships him is going to die and go to hell. Can the church say amen? Amen. So what's the last horse rider do when this man has finally got through it from his entrance to his exit? Anybody that's with him, anybody that's approved him, anybody that's worshiped him, anybody that has resisted him, he's tried to kill them. And God said, if you worship him, if you fellowship him, I will send you to hell. So death and hell. He has become death incarnate. He becomes the vicar of hell. So I'm introducing you to an Antichrist. We're not even scratching the surface on this guy. But I do want you to understand, my friend, what you're seeing in your paper, what you're watching, what you're seeing and watching, the attitude of people, superstars were never as great as they are now. Basketball players are worth multi-million. Baseball players can sign a contract for $50 million. $50 million or more. Superstars. We men have got to pay for the tickets for a company to make that kind of money. Somebody's got to line up. Somebody's got to fill the coffer. Somebody's got to fill the seats. Somebody's got to be love and pleasure. We see it, but we don't put it together. The reason we don't put it together is because we're climatized. We are desensitized. We're no longer sensitive. It no longer pricks us. We no longer blush. We no longer even get concerned. But I tell you what, if you got grandbabies the way I do, you're praying, God, get us out of here quick. I may lose a grandbaby. God knows I don't want to do that. Get us out of here, Lord. Come get us. Because deception has never been so keen. Never has there been so many deceptive people. Pulpits or anywhere else. Our president, he's in the fast lane right now, trying to circle the wagons to save himself from the embarrassment of having to tell us why he went around Congress to do whatever he wanted to do without anybody knowing it. They might smack him on the hand, or they might pat him on the back. We don't know yet. But that is setting the stage that our government cannot even control our legislature. Our votes do not matter. Once they get in office, they become part of the system. Where will the Antichrist come from? I say it will be European. Somewhere out of those 10 toes, he's going to come. But he will come quickly to the stage. It's an hour. He steps up. He's already got the background. He's already got the credentials. He's already got the wealth. He's already got the platform. And when he steps out offering. And because it's the hour, God gives him. And it was given him. He was given a crown. The man on the red horse was given a sword. That means that God okays it. And that's what I've tried to tell you, that God is going to come to an hour when God will give them up and turn them over. The Spirit will no longer restrain. The Holy Ghost will move out of the way, not out of the earth. He will move out of the way and said, you've been wanting this man. Here he is. I've been here 2,000 years preaching to you, prophesying to you, pleading with you to accept Jesus Christ. You will not add Christ, so I will give you an Antichrist. And he throws him in the arena, and he becomes a conqueror. The Holy Ghost is getting ready. How many times have we been warned? A sinner boy, a backslider, said to me the other day, preacher, I don't want to go through that. He's earnest. I said, then you better start getting ready now. I don't want to go through that. I know it's coming. He knows it, but can he break it? No. We forget the Spirit has got to draw you. So what happens when the Holy Ghost doesn't draw? What happens when the Father doesn't draw? What happens when heaven doesn't offer it? Children are going to be caught in the web. Moms and dads are going to be caught in the web. Grandma and grandpa is going to be caught in the web. Everybody is going to be headed towards being deceived. And the world shall worship him. He had a bow, but no arrows. He's honored with a crown. It was given to him. And this was his to conquer. Not by military, but he will conquer as sure as his name will be publicized. People will all, and they will be fascinated with this man. He has an answer. That makes sense. That will work. And if I understand right, which I'm not up on this stuff like I should be, they now have a chip put right here under your skin. And when you want to go to buy some groceries, just scan it. No money, no hassle. Everything's taken care of. Everything about you is right there. Go to the doctor. They want to know your medical history. Scan it. There it is. You say, now, Brother Benny, that's way out there, is it? Did you ever Google yourself? Huh? Did you ever Google yourself? Who'd want to, right? You'd be surprised what Google knows. Where do they get their information? How much information does the government have on you? How much information about you is out there? How much information can they really trace back to you? And I tell you, if you knew, you wouldn't be so free with all that social stuff you're giving away. You would say to God, help me to get out of this. Help me to back out of this now, Lord. Help me to get back to the simple and the truthful and the honest. Help me to get back to loving you, keeping your commandments. Help me to get back to you and do it quickly, lest I get pulled into this web of deception. Stand with me. It's 9 o'clock. I've really rambled, haven't I? Antichrist. God, look at him some more. I hope you don't get bored with this, because if you do, I can go back to preaching. I like to preach. So, we want you to come and pray if you want to. Come and pray because you ought to.